This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. The Health News Digest on the bigger picture. BFM 89.9.
Hello, good afternoon. It's Health News Digest on the bigger picture. I'm Tina Camellia. The 27th First Annual Ig Nobel Prize Ceremony held on the 14th of September introduced 10 new Ig Nobel Prize winners. The Ig Nobel Prize is a parody of the Nobel Prize. It celebrates unusual achievements in scientific research. Research that on the surface sounds absurd, but is in fact useful. The name Ig Nobel is a pun on the word ignoble, meaning of baseness, lowness, or meanness.
This year's winners represent five continents. And now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, literati, glitterati, pseudo-intellectuals, quasi-pseudo-intellectuals, and the rest of you, may I introduce our Master of Ceremonies, the editor of the Annals of Improbable Research, Chief Airhead Mark Abrams.
We are gathered here tonight to honor some remarkable individuals and groups. Each winner has done something that makes people laugh, then think. The editors of the Annals of Improbable Research have chosen a theme for this year's ceremony. That theme, I think, is uncertainty. Is that right? No. Tonight, 10 prizes will be given. The achievements speak for themselves all too eloquently. The prizes will be physically presented to the new Ig Nobel Prize winners by Nobel laureates.
This year, the Nobel laureates are Eric Meskin, the 2007 Nobel Prize winner in economics, Roy Glauber, the 2005 Nobel Prize winner in physics, and Oliver Hart, winner of the 2016 Nobel Prize in economics. We picked some of our favorite winners this year, and we'll try to explain what their research was all about. That's what's in store this hour. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to the show. This edition of Health News Digest will honor some of the winners of the recent Ig Nobel Prize, which highlights research that first makes people laugh and then makes them think. This year's winners include Marc-Antoine Fardin, who won the Physics Prize for using fluid dynamics to probe the question, can a cat be both a solid and a liquid? Spoiler alert, yes. But we're interested in the next award, the Peace Prize. In today's tense political climate, could the didgeridoo be the solution we're looking for? A multinational team of six researchers won the Peace Prize for their paper, Didgeridoo Playing as Alternative Treatment for Obstructive Sleep Apnea Syndrome.
The winners are from Switzerland, Canada, the Netherlands, and the USA. This year's Ig Nobel Peace Prize is awarded to Milo Pujan, Alex Suarez, Christian Locascio, Alfred Zahn, Marcus Heitz, and Otto Brandley for demonstrating that regular playing of a didgeridoo is an effective treatment for obstructive sleep apnea and snoring. Please welcome the winners.
This is Alex. This is Alex Suarez. And he himself suffered 15 years ago from obstructive sleep apnea syndrome and got prescribed the usual treatment, which is the mask treatment. Well, he went home, came back after a while and said, oh, I feel much better. But I didn't use the mask. I didn't tolerate the mask. It was nothing for me. But I picked up playing the didgeridoo with a special breathing technique. And indeed, the sleep apnea syndrome was gone. And he helped other patients do the same, and after a while we thought, yeah, let's do a study on this. And we did a randomized trial, and this trial showed actually that after 4 months of playing the didgeridoo 5 times a week, that it reduces daytime sleepiness, the main symptom, snoring, and apneas during sleep. And this actually showed that the sleep apnea may be treated by this exercise-based active type of treatment, which was a kind of a proof of concept study.
Okay, so it might not bring world peace, but maybe if we all get a good night's sleep and wake up on the right side of the bed, that can help, right? It's not the droning tone of this Aboriginal Australian wind instrument that gives you a good night's sleep, but rather the daily practice, which would involve a lot of blowing, may have a strengthening effect on the upper respiratory tract, making breathing easier. Sleep apnea is a sleep disorder characterized by pauses in breathing or periods of shallow breathing during sleep. Each pause can last for a few seconds to a few minutes, and they happen many times in a single night. In the most common form, it is often accompanied by loud snoring. The apnea hypopnea index, or AHI, is used to indicate the severity of sleep apnea. AHI is calculated by dividing the number of apnea events by the number of hours of sleep. A normal value for adults is below 5, while severe apnea is 30 and above. In this research, the scientists studied 25 patients with sleep apnea and who complained about snoring. In this randomized controlled trial, participants in the control group remained on a waiting list for didgeridoo lessons, while the other group was given didgeridoo lessons and daily practice at home with standardized instruments for 4 months. While there was no significant effect on the quality of sleep compared to the control group, participants in the didgeridoo group showed improvements in terms of daytime sleepiness, AHI, and their partners also reported less sleep disturbance. The researchers concluded that daily didgeridoo playing is an effective treatment alternative for patients with moderate obstructive sleep apnea syndrome. According to a 2005 poll by the National Sleep Foundation in the US, the largest group of snorers is the middle-aged and older men, to no one's surprise. As we age, our muscle tone decreases, and we also tend to put on more weight, which can make the throat space narrower and even more relaxed when we are sleeping, causing the airways to narrow. And the reason men tend to snore more than women could be down to anatomy. The male voice box generally sits lower in the throat, so there's a larger space left open in the airway. When the tongue relaxes during sleep, this larger space means only part of the airway is blocked, causing plenty of room for air vibration. A smaller throat space in women means that their tongues are more likely to completely block the airway, causing them to wake up rather than snore. Speaking of older men, the Anatomy Prize went to James Heathcote for his medical research study, Why Do Old Men Have Big Ears?
Hi, thank you very much. Have you ever sat on a bus and noticed that the old man opposite you has very big ears? Once you've spotted it, it is impossible to imagine those enormous ears on a younger man. And so they must have grown. 20 years ago, we set out to prove this by measuring the ears of 206 patients. And we put it on a graph, and it's true. On average, your ears grow by about 2 millimetres a decade. Thank you for inviting me tonight, for everyone who's helped me to get this ear-shattering piece of research completed and published. Make of it what you will. Thank you.
Heathcote's findings were backed by Japanese data published in 1996 and by an Italian study in 1999. Several reasons have been put forth for the growth. Ears, like many parts of the body, sag with age, thanks both to a loss of elasticity in the skin and to the effects of gravity, so it becomes more noticeable. It may also be that women wear their hair longer, so we're less aware of their ears. By the way, the researcher concluded his paper with the following. Why ears should get bigger when the rest of the body stops growing is not answered by this research. Too bad. Up next, we discuss the Medicine, Cognition and Obstetrics Prizes awarded at the recent Ig Nobel Prize ceremony. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to the show. It's the Health News Digest segment on The Bigger Picture. I'm Tina Camellia with a special coverage of the recent Ig Nobel Prize ceremony. Among some of the winners honored this year are Matthew Rockloff and Nancy Greer, who won the Economics Prize for their experiments to see how contact with a live crocodile affects a person's willingness to gamble.
I'd like in particular to thank my wife, who said when I asked what's exciting in Central Queensland that we could use to motivate people to gamble, she said, well, crocodiles, were chock-a-block with crocodiles.
And Jiwon Han won the Fluid Dynamics Prize for studying the dynamics of liquid sloshing to learn what happens when a person walks backwards while carrying a cup of coffee.
We all spill coffee, all right? And we hate to spill coffee. And back in high school, I had a bit too much free time to myself, so I decided to write a physics paper about it, 15 pages long. And through a series of surprisingly rigorous mathematical arguments, I have found out the secret to not spilling coffee. You hold it from the top, you gaze straight forward, and start walking backwards. I know what you're thinking. Is this practical? Absolutely not. Not at all. Frankly, for those who want to not spill their coffee, that's why the lid was invented. However, I did learn a very important lesson from this research, and it is that research is not about how old you are. It's not about how smart you are. It's about how much coffee you can drink. And with enough coffee drinks and a little bit of bad luck, you might end up in Boston. Thank you.
And if you're wondering what each winner actually won,
this is the coveted Ig Nobel Prize. This year's prize is a replica of a human head supporting a replica of a question mark. What else will they get?
A piece of paper saying they've won an Ig Nobel Prize. It's actually signed by several Nobel laureates.
Do they get any money?
$10 trillion.
$10 trillion?
$10 trillion.
Trillion? Ten?
Ten.
U.S. dollars.
Zimbabwean dollars.
Zimbabwean dollars.
For the record, the Zimbabwean money is no longer an official currency after it was abandoned in 2009 following periods of hyperinflation. Anyway, back to the award ceremony. Our next category is medicine. The winners are from France and the UK. Jean-Pierre Royer, David Mounier, Nicolas Torquet, Anne-Marie Mouly and Tao Jiang used advanced brain scanning technology to measure the extent to which some people are disgusted by cheese.
The winners could not attend in person. They sent us this video acceptance speech.
In France, we have 1,600 varieties of cheese, but we have shown that 6% of people were disgusted by cheese, a higher number than that found for other foods. In addition, from 1 to 6 members of their family also dislike cheese. The disgust is not only observed in France, but probably in most countries in Europe and in USA.
Using an fMRI scanner, the researchers observed that a small brain area activity that was ongoing when stimulated by food odors and images was deactivated in subjects disgusted by cheese. The brain imaging study in which people were asked to smell cheddar, goat's cheese and Gruyere cheese while lying in the scanner identified a region called the basal ganglia as the neural epicenter of cheese disgust. The negative reaction to cheese could be genetic, and to investigate further, future research would probably use a twin study. That's what a group of European researchers did to win the Cognition Prize. They found that identical twins are often unable to recognize themselves in photos. They can't tell if they're looking at a picture of themselves or of their twin.
I remind you that our theme this year is uncertainty. the Cognition Prize. The winners are from Italy, Spain, and the UK. The Cognition Prize is awarded to Matteo Martini, Ilaria Bufalari, Maria Antonietta Stasi, and Salvatore Maria Aliotti for demonstrating that many identical twins cannot tell themselves apart visually. Please welcome the winners.
Hi, everybody. Thanks, Mark, and thank you all for this prize. We're really honored to receive it. For some reason, this study has been the one we struggled the most to publish. Who knows why? So if we had to receive a prize for improbable research, it had to be for this one. Anyway, as an eminent photographer once said, the face is the only part of the body to be exposed naked to the first comer. And she was right, unless you live in a hut in an Amazon forest. The face is also the most distinctive feature of the body itself. People typically show a clear advantage in recognizing their own face over other very familiar faces.
Yes, but what happens when your face is extremely similar to another face, like monozygotic twins? Surprisingly, we have found that identical twins hardly distinguish a picture of their own face from that of their co-twin at a quick glance. And even more surprisingly, we found that this effect depends on how much they felt physically similar to their co-twin, and also on how insecure the attachment to significant other is. Thank you.
I think we can all breathe easy now. If you can't correctly identify twins, as it's been now scientifically proven that they couldn't even tell themselves apart. And they spent 9 months sharing a womb with each other. We didn't. Speaking of wombs, the last prize we would like to highlight is the Obstetrics Prize, awarded to a group of Spanish researchers for showing that a developing human fetus responds more strongly to music that is played electromechanically inside the mother's vagina than to music that is played electromechanically on the mother's belly. Here are the winners.
The Obstetrics Prize is awarded to Marisa Lopez Tejon, Alex Garcia Faura, Alberto Prats Galino, and Luis Palares Aniorte for showing that a developing human fetus responds more strongly to music that is played electromechanically inside the mother's vagina than to music that is played electromechanically on the mother's belly. Please welcome the winners.
Institut Marquez is carrying out a state-of-the-art research on how music impacts the embryonic and fetal development. We have improved in vitro fertilization by applying musical vibrations inside the incubators of our fertility clinics and by inserting a speaker in the vagina of thousands of patients. For the first time, we have been able to communicate with the fetus. To achieve this, we have to create the baby pod. This is an FDA-approved vaginal speaker that connects to the phone. Thanks to the baby pod, we have discovered how fetal hearing works.
Other winners at this year's Ig Nobel Prize ceremony include the biology prize to a group of multinational researchers for their discovery of a female penis and a male vagina in a cave insect.
In the study, we reported a sex reverse cave insect in which females have a penis.
Yes, I peeped their sex life every 30 minutes and found out the females anchor the males by using her spiny penis up to 70 hours.
Every dictionary around the world explains penis as a male structure. Our discovery made billions of dictionaries outdated.
Yeah. So let's explore further improbable insects. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
While the Nutrition Prize went to another multinational group of researchers for the first scientific report of human blood in the diet of the hairy-legged vampire bats. That's all we have for our special coverage of the Ig Nobel Prize. The ceremony wasn't just about the winners, though. While some of them conducted live demonstrations of their research, the ceremony also featured other humorous, irreverent acts, including two paper plane deluges, as well as the mini opera, The Incompetence Opera, a musical encounter with the Peter Principle and the Dunning-Kruger effect. It's about how and why incompetent people rise to the top and what that implies for everybody.
Now, here's a musical treat, the world premiere of a new mini opera called The Incompetence Opera. There are three acts, one now, one later, and one after that. It stars Maria Ferrante, Ray Bowens, and the Peter Principle Chorus, accompanied by the Dunning-Kruger Effective Orchestra. Now, here is our narrator, Karen Hopkin.
Thank you, Lamb Chop. A psychologist walks into a bar. The psychologist commiserates with the bartender. The bartender commiserates with the psychologist. Each feels stuck in their careers. The waitstaff and the customers in the bar commiserate with them. As they all commiserate, you might want to think about the Peter Principle. The Peter Principle, described in the 1960s by Canadian psychologist Lawrence J. Peter, explains that in any organization, people are promoted until they reach their level of maximum incompetence. Let me repeat that. The Peter Principle explains that in any organization, people are promoted until they reach their level of maximum incompetence. The Peter Principle got the bartender and the psychologist to where they are today. It'll probably keep them there. Let's listen to them lament.
Trouble when I was young, they made me go see a shrink. She sized me up, offered me a job interpreting blotted ink. She disappeared, don't know where she went. The job was vacant, they consequently offered me promotion, which I accepted. 'Tis ignorance of psychology, I did what I thought was best. I told the clients to blow their nose and always stick out their chest. My boss got angry, then she resigned, till they made me boss. Hey, I didn't mind, they offered me promotion, which I accepted.
If your bosses had any sense, they would question your competence. I have managed to manage things when managing's a thing you don't know how to do.
If my bosses had any sense, they would question my competence, how I manage to do what I do when I do not know what to do.
If your bosses had any sense, they would question their competence, how they manage to manage things when managing's a thing they don't know how to do.
If my bosses had any sense, they would question their competence, how I manage to do what they do when they do not know what to do. Maybe there's uncertainty. It's hard to say how much, but certainly there's uncertainty. Maybe there's uncertainty when you get made into a manager. When some mediocre flop is chosen just by luck, and then we get stuck with them forever after. They get promoted when nothing really works, because it's managed by random jerks.
My trouble tale is just like yours, like many they made the men. My trouble done it again, and thought it is this again. My trouble, the trouble, and early into the night, they ran a brave adventure which I accepted. Bar, no ordinary night of then. I never knew they made people in to ever come back again. A bottle took me casually drinks 10 times a week. I took the seats and offered me promotion, which I accepted.
If your bosses had any sense, they would question your competence, how you manage to manage things when managing's a thing you don't know how to do.
If my bosses had any sense, they would question my competence, how they manage to do what I do. I do not know what to do.
If your bosses had any sense, they would question their competence. How they manage to manage things when managing something they don't know how to do.
If my bosses had any sense, they would question their competence. How they manage to do what they do when they do not know what to do.
Maybe there's uncertainty. It's hard to say how much, but certainly there's uncertainty.
Maybe there's uncertainty.
And who gets made into a manager? When some mediocre club is chosen just by luck, and then we get stuck with them. Forever after they get promoted, well, nothing really works because it's managed by random.
Also a tradition at the Ig Nobel Prize ceremony is the 24/7 lectures, in which several of the world's top thinkers each explains her or his subject twice. First, a complete technical description in 24 seconds, and then a clear summary that anyone can understand in 7 words.
The first 24/7 lecture will be delivered by a professor of artificial intelligence and the philosophy of technology at Kosminski University in Poland. Please welcome Aleksandra Pregalinska. Her topic, bots. First, a complete technical description of the subject in 24 seconds. On your mark, get set. Go.
We presented a study of human-bot interaction based on an experiment that consisted of 2 parts. Measurement of psychophysiological reaction to chatbot users and the questionnaire that focused on assessing willingness to talk to a robot or chatbot. Our particular focus was on the uncanny valley effect. And in the experiment, we juxtaposed the EDA channel with the digital input channel, and the data indicated a very strong positive correlation between the uncanny valley effect and the negative affect evaluation.
And now, a clear summary that anyone can understand in 7 words. On your mark, get set, go.
Robots that talk are perceived as stupid. Sorry.
The next 24/7 lecture will be delivered by the Nobel Prize-winning economist Eric Maskin. His topic, uncertainty. First, a complete technical description of the subject in 24 seconds. On your mark, get set, go.
Uncertainty is the heart of economic life. What do oil men, poker players, and bond traders have in common? Oil men drill their wells, poker players look for tells, and traders time their sells in order to exploit other people's uncertainty. A party who does this well earns a profit, and the other parties will cry if they want to.
And now, a clear summary that anyone can understand in 7 words. On your mark, get set, go.
Uncertainty is the only sure thing. Perhaps.
There were 5 24/7 lectures, and this one is by Elizabeth Hensky on the topic of biomedical research.
The next 24/7 lecture will be delivered by the head of the Hensky Lab at Harvard Medical School and Brigham and Women's Hospital, Elizabeth Hensky. Her topic, biomedical research. First, a complete technical description of the subject in 24 seconds. On your mark, get set, go.
Biomedical research is the investigation of health and disease by physicians and scientists worldwide, partnering with patients driven by data and seeking to prevent, treat, and cure devastating diseases like AIDS, cancer, diabetes, leukemia, lupus, parasitic disease, tuberous sclerosis, and lymphangioleiomyomatosis. Using tools including genetics, genomics, epigenomics, metagenomics, proteomics, metabolomics, high-throughput screens, and phase 1, 2, and 3 clinical trials.
Woo-hoo! And now, a clear summary that anyone can understand in 7 words. On your mark, get set, go.
Biomedical research is good for your health.
I think that can be said for most research, even the ones that at first make you laugh. I hope you enjoyed this edition of Health News Digest. You can catch the whole Ig Nobel Prize ceremony. Just head to their website, improbable.com, and look under Ig Nobel Prize. If you missed any part of the show, the podcast is available on our BFM app, which you can download for free from the Apple App Store and Google Play. I'm Tina Camellia. This has been Health News Digest on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.